This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, by a vote of 227 to 205, the House approved the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act earlier this afternoon. The Senate still must act on their version of tax reform, and then the two chambers will have to conference and work out their differences. One aspect that was not in the House version that lawmakers are counting on being addressed is the charitable deduction of contributions. Chairman of the Republican Study Committee, North Carolina Congressman Mark Walker, will be here with those details. And you've heard about fake news. Well, what about its twin, fake science? President of the Center for Family and Human Rights, Austin Roos, is here to explain. Also, Hobby Lobby President Steve Green is here with the latest word on the Museum of the Bible that opens here in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. Also be taking your phone calls a little later here on Washington Watch, and I'll have a special opportunity for you, but you'll have to stick around to find out about it. That's coming up. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Also, yesterday, six Democrats in the House of Representatives have filed articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump, saying that he is undermining the federal judiciary and, get this, the press. By calling it fake news, I wonder? All right, earlier today in a, we'll talk about that, by the way. Earlier today in a huge first step, House Republicans passed a massive tax reform package of corporate and individual tax cuts. The first time that we've seen such reform since 1986. With us now is Congressman Mark Walker. He represents the 6th Congressional District of North Carolina. He is also the chairman of the largest conservative caucus in the House, the Republican Study Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Always good to be with you.
Big day in the House. The Speaker was certainly excited about what took place, and this is a big step forward.
I think it is a huge step in the right direction. There's no question about it.
And, of course, this tax package had the support of the Republican Study Committee. A lot of good things in there that you and I have talked about in the past, the Johnson Amendment, which unmuzzles churches and nonprofit organizations. So there's a lot of good stuff here. From $1,000 for the child tax credit to $1,600, doubling the individual deduction. So there's some good things here.
There's no question there's some good things about it. And you even talked about really the historic reference that it's been 31 years since we've had any kind of major movement on this particular area. And, you know, we've heard a lot of Democrats on the House floor today get upset about this provision and that provision. Well, you know, I would have to ask, during the former administration, there wasn't a single conversation about reducing or lowering taxes for middle and lower income families. So it is a huge step. I don't think that you've seen the same kind of celebration that we saw with health care, because even though it was modest today, we understand there's still work to be done, not only just to get it to the president's desk, but there's some things about the bill that can be improved as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is we know from the health care debate that this is just the first of many steps that has to take place to get this to the president's desk. But for a moment, I just want to focus on some of the aspects of this. Then I'm going to go to the weaknesses in this bill that we're hoping are addressed in the process. But according to the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation, this bill will cut taxes on typical households by $1,182. I mean, that's significant. Raise wages by upwards of $4,000 and create nearly 1 million full-time jobs. So, I mean, this is a real boost for our economy.
Well, there's no question about it. I can tell you, we've run the numbers two or three times for North Carolina. The average tax set will be $2,300, and even our conservative estimates, you're looking at potentially 30,000 new jobs. That's about as pro-growth as you can get. I think that's huge because it's not just the individual side, but it's reducing the highest business rate in the world down to a below average, a more competitive 20%. People say, well, that's corporation. Well, who are these local jobs? Where do these local jobs come from in our communities? but some of these factories and some of these manufacturing places that are doing a great job. We want these companies in our country. We want them in our community, and this allows us to be much more competitive and even bringing some of those jobs back.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Big step forward today for tax reform. The House, by a vote of 227 to 205 along partisan lines, passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Congressman Mark Walker, chairman of the Republican Studies Committee, my guest in this first segment. Now, there are some weaknesses in this bill that we're hoping will be addressed during this process, whether in the Senate or in conference. But under our current tax system, around 70% of tax filers claim the standard deduction, meaning they do not itemize. About 30% itemize. Estimates have shown that under this tax reform framework, that number would rise to 95%. So only 5% of Americans would itemize. And there are concerns that that's going to have a negative impact upon charitable contributions.
Tony, your research is spot on as usual. It is a concern. 3 weeks ago, we anticipated, we put the bill together with our team and our staff called the Universal Charitable Giving Act, and not just to be promoting the bill, but we believe that this is the solution that allows people. Listen, America is the most philanthropic country in the world. When there's a need at home and abroad, we're the first ones to answer the call. So the idea of doing anything that would create a deterrency from people giving to their local communities, their local shelters, their local churches, their local arts council, whatever it might be, a lot of this comes from hardworking everyday Americans, even middle and lower income families who make a sacrifice. They don't give because of deductions, but we certainly want to do anything that would create some kind of a valley, if you would, in a business standpoint, that you would make these nonprofits who already, many of them, are barely getting by. We certainly wouldn't want to create any undue stress, and I think that's why it's very important. I know Senator James Lankford is championing this for me on the Senate side, is that we get this put back into the final piece of legislation.
So what is the universal deduction essentially does is that above the allowable standard deduction, they can itemize charitable contributions, which allows them to take that additional tax write-off. Is that correct?
Tony, that's exactly right. The numbers that we have on it at this point would be up to $2,100, which is one-third above the line for individuals, and up to $4,200 per couple per family, which is also a one-third above the line. We think that's crucial, and we think if by doing so, it allows us to get some of this great tax reform done, but still doesn't put any gaps in this process that anybody would be altered in an adverse way.
Well, and it also, Arthur Brooks a number of years ago wrote about this in a book, Who Really Cares? And it looks at the multiplier effect of this type of contribution. In fact, for the concern here for the Congress as they're redoing this under the constraints of reconciliation is that everything has to be offset. There has to be these pay-fors so that every reduction in revenue coming into the government has to be accounted for. But the reality is this would cost about $1.5 billion a year in terms of government revenue coming in, but it will generate somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 to $15 billion in charitable giving, which offsets the need for the government to do so many things.
See, Tony, you're exactly right. So many times we only look at it from the government perspective and we forget, and we get this mindset in D.C. How dare we have a thought process that we would give people's hardworking money back to them to be able to invest in these charities, to be invest in their communities, to be in the best church groups, nonprofits, religious organizations, whatever they deem necessary. And this mindset, and I heard it on the floor mentioned several times during debate today, much of it coming from the left, that Washington should keep more of that money to be able to use it for their own. Of course, it's funny that Democrats have all of a sudden become deficit conscious in the last two or three weeks. Not to be too partisan there, but there's another aspect of this. If I still have time, I also want to talk. If we had just a second, Tony, to talk about repealing the individual mandate. That is something right. I think is very crucial. It's in the Senate version, and I hope that we get a chance when it comes back to conference that we can really go after this, because as of to date, it is the only piece of federal legislation that requires Americans to purchase products The Universal Charitable Giving Act and repealing the individual mandate is still two big pieces, I think, that can be included in this tax reform bill.
Yeah, that is in the Senate bill. Senator Hatch put that in earlier this week in their version. And so that actually allows about $338 billion to be allocated in these tax cuts, because that's less money the government's going to be giving in these subsidies by mandating people to have the health care. So that's huge. And it begins the, I think, the dismantling of Obamacare, because it's such a key portion. But I want to go back for just a moment. We just have about a couple of minutes left. But on the Universal Charitable Giving Act, you represent a state that has one of the largest humanitarian charitable organizations, Samaritan's Purse. I've worked closely with them. They do great work. And in fact, I would argue that in many cases they do much better work and more quickly than FEMA. Not to be critical of the current administration, but it's just the nature of government. And they approach it from a holistic standpoint of actually coming alongside, putting an arm around the shoulder of the people and helping them.
Right.
We need that. When you look at what we've just gone through in the last couple of months with all of these hurricanes and the storms and the fires, and what your bill simply is allows that private sector, those non-government organizations, to take up more of the slack that the government cannot do.
Tony, I've not even heard it argued from that perspective, but that is exactly spot on. It makes me think of back 6 or 7 years ago when the tornadoes ripped through Moore, Oklahoma, and I think ABC and CBS, or NBC and CBS, did a joint simulcast, and they said this. I think it was a couple of the commentators. They said, if you're waiting on the federal government, you're going to be waiting a while, but the Baptist men are already here. And the point is exactly what you're saying. Why would we do anything or create any kind of obstacle that would prevent people like Samaritan's Purse and other organizations to be those first runners into these situations, to be able to offer that kind of aid, both short-term and long-term? This is why it's important to fight for this. I hope your audience will continue to keep the pressure on the senators to make sure that this stays in there, and ultimately, when it comes back to the House, to make sure that this is included in the final tax reform bill that we send to the president's desk.
Well, we will be talking about this quite a bit over the next few weeks as we move toward that conference and final vote on the tax reform measure. Congressman Mark Walker, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for your leadership on this extremely, extremely important piece of legislation.
Happy to do it, Tony. Goodbye.
All right. Have a great weekend. Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina, chairman of the Republican Study Committee, talking about the Universal Charitable Giving Act. Now, this was a separate piece of legislation that he introduced, but the goal is to see this folded into the reform package. If it doesn't happen in the Senate, and oddly enough, there's actually a couple of Democrats that are offering this amendment in the Senate to the tax reform bill. If it doesn't happen in the Senate, it has to happen in conference. If not, what you're going to actually see is a reduction in the amount of charitable giving in this country, which, you know, that's across the board, whether, as he mentioned, to the local arts or symphony, to organization advocacy organizations like ours, or humanitarian organizations, or churches. So this is important and needs to be addressed. We'll be talking more about this in the next couple of weeks. All right, folks, listening to Washington Watch, I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Coming up next, you've heard of fake news. What about fake science? That's next. Don't go away.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discussed the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Make sure you write that down. All right. If you listen to any political argument, you're eventually bound to hear something like, the science is settled on this, all right? We're not going to talk about it. Science is settled. Or just look at the statistics. Well, that's fine if the science is good and the statistics are accurate. But what if they're fake? Well, joining me now is the author of Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data, Austin Roos. He is the president of the Center for Family and Human Rights, or CFAM. Austin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
I'm delighted to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
Now, in this book, you argue that the statistics and the studies behind today's political causes are often of questionable scientific merit. Now, you tackle issues such as abortion, fracking, global warming. I mean, you take on all the sacred cows of the left.
Yeah.
What's behind it?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, what's behind it is an ideology that in our scientific age needs scientific facts to back them up when in fact they don't exist. I mean, the language of our age, the lingua franca of our age is science. And if you don't come to a political argument with a study in hand or two or three, then you're in trouble. People automatically want to know what the science says. What does the social science say? And so what's driving it is a leftist political agenda in search of arguments that will convince the public. And therefore they go out and they either create these studies or they commission these studies that tend to be phony studies. I mean, either the sample sizes are too small, or the sample sizes are drawn from sympathetic audiences. There's a whole lot of ways to game these studies, most especially in social science, but also in science. So what's driving it is the fact that everybody needs a study these days. If you don't have one, you're nowhere. And a lot of the things that they're trying to prove are not really provable, and therefore they have to rely on fake science.
Austin, science is the pursuit of truth, is it not, to try to discover what is in fact true? Increasingly, the left, I have a hard time believing that they are pro-science. when basic biology they deny.
That's right. Yeah, well, and that's the funny thing is that they will say ad nauseum that we are anti-science. I mean, some years ago, Kathy and I went to Missouri to work in the final 30 days of an amendment battle there on cloning, they wanted to put cloning in the Missouri Constitution so that they could experiment on human beings. And just the little sleight of hand that they used, they said, oh, no, this isn't cloning. All we're talking about is somatic cell nuclear transfer. Well, guess what somatic cell nuclear transfer is? It's cloning. So moreover, then they went on to promise that there would be all of these treatments and cures, and if they only got somatic cell nuclear transfer into the Missouri Constitution. And they ended up winning it by about 1.5 percentage points, and there have been no treatments and no cures since that time. Yet during that time, you'll recall vividly that we were all called anti-science because we were against embryo-destructive research.
Well, okay, so we know that the left is using this out there. Why did you write the book? What was the motivation here, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the motivation was the good people at Regnery invited me to make a proposal. This was something that their top editor, Harry Crocker, has been keenly interested in a long time because, I mean, everybody notices it. My motivation was because in the work that you and I do, we run across this all the time, on homosexuality, for instance, that it's inborn. If you don't believe that it's inborn and immutable, then you're a hater. But science doesn't show that it's inborn or that it's immutable. So in the work that we do, one of the claims is, children don't need their mom and dad. One of the main claims of the other side with regard to same-sex marriage. So in the work that we do, we run across this constantly. And so I was eager to do it in the areas that I talk about and that I work on at the United Nations. And then it was also a treat for me to look into other areas where I wasn't, a day-to-day expert on the topics, hunger and poverty, for instance, fracking. I knew next to nothing about fracking except basically what it was. So it was really a fun book to research and write. The funny thing is science tends to back up all of the claims that we make rather than the other side. That's the flip side of this. Not only is the other side making things up with regard to science, but as a matter of fact, the science generally confirms the things that we believe. The science confirms the natural law. I call science no less than dusting for the fingerprints of God. We're examining his handiwork to find out how things are put together. And that's one of the wonderful things about where we are. That is to say, planet Earth, the United States. We went to the eclipse. We drove for a couple of hours to go into the eclipse, and it's no coincidence that we're the only planet in the solar system that got the full eclipse, that gets a full eclipse, that also, not so coincidentally, is the only planet in the solar system has sentient beings who can study it. All of this is really dusting for the fingerprints of God, and that's the way I view science.
What's fascinating about this is the left, who uses the skewed statistics and the fuzzy facts, are the ones that claim the right, conservatives, are anti-science, when in fact we embrace science. But I think they do that to try to basically eliminate our arguments coming from a scientific perspective.
I wrote this book for moms and dads to help them talk to their children home from college. I wrote it for kids in college to stand up against their leftist professors. This is a book for everybody who is concerned about the way they lie about science these days.
Austin Roos, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
Folks, all right, here's the deal. I've got a free copy for you. For the first 25 folks that go to TonyPerkins.com, you can get a free copy of Austin's book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics. Go to TonyPerkins.com right now and get a copy. Coming back, Steve Green is here to talk about the Museum of the Bible. Don't go away. We're back after this.
day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch, the website TonyPerkins.com. And as I said, first 25 people to go to TonyPerkins.com and request a copy, you'll get a free copy of Alston Roos's book, Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics. All right, tomorrow, the Museum of the Bible will open its 430,000-square-foot nonprofit museum just three blocks from the U.S. Capitol. Right here in Washington, D.C. It's the largest private museum in the city. Its aim is to be the most technologically advanced museum in the world. Now, I haven't been there since they got it all stocked. I was there a couple of times for the what they call the hard hat tours. This is all privately funded, no government money, $500 million. And it tells the story of the good book, the Bible. It's going to be fascinating. In fact, I'm going to be at one of the dinners tonight kind of kicking it off. But joining us now is Steve Green. He is the president of Hobby Lobby and also serves as chairman of the board of the Museum of the Bible. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a big weekend for you.
It is. It's been a big week. We've had a lot of visitors coming through as we've invited friends and supporters to come take a peek before we open to the public, and it's been thrilling to see people come by and enjoying the museum.
Now, we've talked about this before, but this vision that you had for this museum, it came about several years ago, and it's been developing, and it's kind of mushroomed into this actual facility that's been years in the making. Let our listeners know, what was the motivation behind this?
Well, our family has had a love for the Bible that had been passed down for generations. My parents grew up in Christian homes, and they raised us up in Christian homes. Our business, if you look at our first statement of purpose, we operate our business according to biblical principles, or at least that's what we strive to do. We've never done that perfectly. And we have been blessed to be in a nation that has been built on concepts that our founders found in the Bible, the idea that all men are created equal, that came from the Bible. And so I've traveled enough overseas to have a great appreciation for the principles our founders built our nation on, and knowing that that came from the Bible. So we have been blessed as a family by the Bible in multiple ways, and are excited about inviting all people to consider what it has to say, and hopefully they would embrace the concepts it teaches for them as well.
So, Steve Green, why Washington, D.C.? Why not New York? Why not Chicago? Why Washington, D.C.?
Well, we originally were looking in Dallas and wanted to open it up to other possibilities. And when I looked at the top 10 metros, the other two that stood out to me were New York City and Washington, D.C. So we actually were looking in all three cities when we did a survey. And in this survey where we asked 1,000 people across the country about, 100 questions, some of those questions dealt with if they would attend it in Dallas or New York City, Washington, D.C., and it showed that it would be best attended here in D.C. Second was New York City. Dallas was third. So, and as we thought about it, it really just makes sense that this is the hub of museums in our nation. This is where the museum goers go, and we would do best where the heart of museums are in our country. So we focused right here in D.C. and acquired a facility that, as you mentioned, just a few blocks from the Capitol, two blocks from the Air and Space Museum, one of the most attended museums in the country. So a great location right here in D.C.
Well, Steve, I think it was providential. I think God guided it. I think it's very significant that it's here in Washington, D.C., and I can tell that that is the case by the controversy. I mean, there are people on the left and the right that want to criticize it, which tells me it's right where it needs to be.
Yeah, a lot of people like thinking, just because we're in the shadow of the Capitol, that there's a political agenda there. And, of course, what we say is we want to invite all people to engage with the Bible. That means there will be no sign saying Congress not allowed. We hope Congress does come, and our president and judges, and because it's for all people, and we need to understand the founding principles and where they came from that made this country so successful, and so we hope all people will come, including Congress.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Steve Green, my guest, president of Hobby Lobby and chairman of the board of the Museum of the Bible, which opens tomorrow here in Washington, D.C. Steve, what section of the museum, if there is one, that you're most proud of?
Well, we look at the Bible in three ways. There's three primary sections: the history, the impact, and the narrative. The history just looks at, the history of the Bible, archaeological evidences and manuscripts and so forth. The narrative is just to basically tell the Bible story. And then the impact is the third one, and that's probably what I would pick out as a favorite, because it really is just for a broad audience. As a visitor comes in and they see the Bible's impact, I think they will be surprised, those that don't think the Bible's impacted their life, to realize it has, whether they know it or not, because it's impacted practically every area of life. The book speaks into every area, and it has impacted every area of life. And there's a real fun ride on that one where we fly visitors through D.C., showing them where Scripture's engraved on monuments all over the city.
Well, Steve, let me say thank you to you and your family for spearheading this, and also congratulations. I'm excited for you and looking forward maybe to seeing you tonight.
Tony, I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
All right. Steve Green, president of Hobby Lobby and chairman of the board for the Museum of the Bible, which opens tomorrow. Greatly anticipated. So the word is here. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about the fake science. And if you haven't gone yet to TonyPerkins.com, do so. Request your free copy of Fake Science. And we're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Don't go away.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. That's where you can request your free copy. The first 25 folks that go to TonyPerkins.com and request a copy of Austin Roos's book, Fake Science, The Skewed Statistics of the Left's Skewed Statistics and Fuzzy Facts. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, here's what we're going to talk about. And you can call me. Give me your thoughts. Is it time for conservatives to confront and expose fake news and fake science? Is it time to take them on? What do you think? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. An example of what we're talking about here was a column on NBC on their website. By a guy by the name of Dr. Travis Reeder, I believe is how he pronounces that. The title of it is Science Proves Kids Are Bad for Earth. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek type piece. But he essentially argues that the science shows that it's essentially unethical for people to have children because it harms the planet. Well, call me unethical. I have five kids. This is the left. I mean, it's insane. It sounds comical, but it's not. They really believe this stuff. Rather than the earth being our home, a place where we're to, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, make subservient to the needs of human beings, they would rather eliminate human beings as another way to balance the CO2 equation. I mean, this is on NBC's website. But this is nothing new. I mean, this is the same camp that once called people the AIDS of the earth. Then to prove that, they launched the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. I wonder who was the first to volunteer from that group. Look, for years, these green extremists used photos of cuddly polar bears and harp seals to cover up their real agenda of radical environmentalism, which was to eliminate human beings. But what they don't seem to realize is the real science, the numbers, the actual numbers. And that is that the population is on its way to collapse. I mean, the total fertility rate, and this is census from census officials, government officials, has fallen below the 2.1 children that a couple needs to replace themselves. I mean, you cannot maintain a society if you are an inverted pyramid. Because in an aging country like ours, with the baby boomers and all those others that are retiring, and if you don't grow families, you can't grow the economy. But then that's the irony of liberalism. They complain about overpopulation and then push for abortion when the rest of their big government agenda falls apart without more taxpayers. And where do you get future taxpayers? Well, from the same womb that the left wants to empty. All right, 866-372-7234. Is it time for conservatives to confront and expose fake news and fake science? Let's go to Illinois, where Sherry is on the line. Sherry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good evening. Thank you. I think, of course, it's time for us to do that. And the way we need to start doing it is with our money, with our dollars. We need to stop watching the television programs and the fake news that the advertisers are going to put their money into. That's the best way. And that's really us putting our money where our mouth is, too. We ought not put our eyes on things that are ugly. And at the same time, we need to stay informed by listening to American Family Radio, I think. But also praying, absolutely praying and being in God's Word. I know your listeners mostly know that, but doing it and knowing it are different things. And the
absolutely.
Third thing is become involved in your local elections and, volunteer that way too.
Absolutely. Sherry, thanks so much. Could not agree with you more. And one of the ways that we can use our dollars is by being informed on what the entities we spend our money with use the profits for. And we've partnered with a great organization called Second Vote. They have an app. You can actually put it on your smartphone or go to their website, secondvote.com. And they'll tell you, they rank a lot of these big corporations and grocery stores and everything. And you'll know if your dollars that you spend with them at the profits are being used against you. And I think it's responsible consumerism that you're not fueling the very policies that are chipping away at your freedoms. And that, again, secondvote.com. 866-372-7234. Is it time for conservatives to confront and expose fake news and fake science? Let's go to David in Mobile. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was just going to say on that subject, the Bible in Ephesians 5:11 not only tells us not to participate, but to rather expose the deeds of the darkness. So that'll give your listeners something to think about.
Perfect. I do believe it's time that, you know, a lot of times, and I get this, I understand, we don't want to create controversy. We just sit there and we let people spout off things that are not true. And let's just take a local school board meeting, where they're pushing these policies that would expose our children to dangerous policies in the bathrooms. And they cite fake science. You've got 40% of the population thinking someone can define their own gender after birth. I mean, we got a problem. And so, you know, people spout off these fake studies and they don't want to be confrontational. And look, I get that. I understand. I am not a confrontational person at all. But I have a greater concern for the truth. And I cannot stand lies and deception to be spewed forth, allowing our culture to begin that downward spiral or accelerating that downward spiral that we're already on. And so I do think that we have to expose the deeds of darkness. He's absolutely correct. Let's go to Billy in North Carolina. Billy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing fine.
So your thoughts? Time to expose it?
Yeah, we should have done it a long time ago. I mean, the majority of the world, they're not stupid. They're just misinformed. They don't know what is happening to their rights and everything else. The little percentage of the LGBTs and all that, the only way they're getting out there is the media is on their side, and we just need to put our voice out there. And like she said, stop the dollars. Quit paying for it. And these companies go ahead.
You're absolutely right, Billy. And one of the things we need to do, and this is why about 4 years ago we launched Washington Watch. Okay. Now we're obviously not a nightly news program, but we are a daily program that brings the newsmakers to you on some of the top issues. I mean, today we talked about tax reform. We talked about this fake news. We talked about the Bible Museum opening. A lot of controversy around that Bible Museum, by the way. Didn't get into it, but it just shows you how our society has become where a museum looking at the history of the Bible is controversial. And I'm so thankful for the Green family that they also, by the way, and you probably remember this, they were a part of they were the big Hobby Lobby case and the Conestoga Wood case that went all the way to the Supreme Court regarding contraception and abortifacients in the healthcare program. They were willing to stand on that and lose their whole business. Fortunately, they won at the Supreme Court. So they're people of character and courage, and we're grateful for that.
That's why I shop on it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's how we reinforce that message, by putting our money behind it. Billy, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening here to Washington Watch. But folks, you need to share this with your friends, that there is a source of information on what's happening in politics that is not filtered through the liberal media. And all right, before you throw anything at the radio, there was a time when I was a defender of the media, and not too long ago. In fact, in my first book, Personal Faith, Public Policy, there's a chapter in which I defended CNN. Now, this was pre-Obama years. And at that point, I recall saying right after that election, I used to be on, believe it or not, I was on TV on MSNBC more than any other network. It was MSNBC, CNN, and rarely was I on Fox. But today, I'm only on Fox. Rarely do I appear on CNN, and I haven't been on MSNBC for years because they're so hard left. They don't even want a voice like this to be heard. And I have watched this. They were always skewed left. I mean, I was a reporter for 2 years, and I'm back in covering politics, and I understand how that works. But there was many tried to be objective and just report the facts, although they were looking through a different worldview lens. So it came out, but it wasn't. They weren't militant and aggressive about it as they've become today. I mean, look how they treat the president. They are combatants. They are political combatants. They are not objective reporters of what's going on. And I see it. I mean, I'm on the front line here. I mean, I'm on the front row. Oftentimes in the meetings that I'm in, I'm having these discussions with the players, and then I see a news story, which is completely false and counter to what actually took place. And I've seen that increasingly to where I see now the media clearly has their own agenda. And it is not the agenda of the American people. They are not for the American people. They are for their image of America that they want to create. And I do believe that we've got to confront that fake news, as the president has, and I applaud him for that. But we need to share with our friends and family other sources so that they can be informed and know what's going on. That's one of the reasons we do a daily newsletter update. Put a lot of time in it to put into your email box information about what's happening. Again, it's not comprehensive. It covers three issues that are important as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. But it is a source, and you can get it free. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. You can sign up for that. All right, got to take a couple more calls here. Let's go to Missouri where Paul is on the line. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you know, I was wondering if you had any thoughts about trying to find some middle ground. I didn't read the article that you referenced about, you know, the number of people, you know, or number of babies a family should have or anything like that. But I think it's a pretty far cry to say that liberals are trying to empty the womb of humanity.
No, you know, not all liberal. I said the activists that are on this, the global warming alarmist. That is, most people don't realize, but population control is a key component of the global warming agenda.
Well, shouldn't we be conscious of that, though? I mean,
it depends. Are you going to listen? Are you going to listen to Scripture? Or are you going to listen to the left?
I listen to both.
Well, the Scripture says be fruitful and multiply, and there was no expiration date on that.
Well, we have multiplied plenty on this earth.
Have we? Have we? Look, the population, fertility rate in the United States has slipped down to, I think, 1.9. Replacement rate is 2.1.
But there are more humans on this planet than there's more humans on this planet than ever in history, though.
Are we supposed to eliminate certain portions of the population?
No. I think individuals need to make conscious decisions about, you know, how they replace their own lives on this earth and be careful about what resources we take up with future generations in mind.
Well, but if we're not having children, we don't have to worry about the future generations because there won't be any.
Well, I think that's a bit extremist of yourself.
No, I mean that is what many in the global warming movement are proposing. I mean, that's one of the reasons that the whole same-sex relationship movement is proposed and embraced by the global warming alarmists, because it doesn't produce offspring. So, Paul, think about it. Think about it. I myself stick with Scripture. Be fruitful and multiply. I think that children are a blessing from the Lord. They're not a burden on society. Now, I think we have a responsibility to be good stewards of the planet, but people, not the planet, take precedent. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Great conversation. Glad you're with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.